I've titled our message this morning, A Reminder and Warning We All Need. A Reminder and Warning We All Need. I don't know about at your house, but at ours, when a new baby is born, there's kind of a competition that begins between my wife and I as to what word will be first between the baby. Will it be mama or dada? And so I usually try to coax the baby into saying daddy, dada if I can. And I think I've won most of the time, if I remember right. But, you know, you're always wanting that baby to begin talking, and you're trying to communicate with that little one right from the beginning. And then when they start talking, it just seems like they don't stop. And sometimes you think, okay, that's enough. Maybe we shouldn't have begun that talk. And it's kind of humorous, but it reminds us that the tongue is powerful, that it can be used either for good things or harmful things. And as we come to James chapter 3, we find a reminder for all of us and a warning also that each of us has struggled with. There's not one of us this morning that isn't convicted by this passage as we study it together. In fact, it's one of the most graphic sections of Scripture, very vivid for us as James unfolds the picture of the tongue, the power of the tongue, the inclination that every person struggles with in the proper use of their tongues. One way to measure a Christian's spiritual maturity is to examine his own speech. And there are things this morning that we will be reminded of, that we need to be reminded of, that we need to heed and yield to the Spirit's pricking in our lives. As you prepare a message, the Lord always works in your own life. Where are areas that need to change? And so this morning, as we go to the Scripture, coming alongside of each of us to say, Lord, help us to have a tongue that is pleasing in your sight. Our tongue reveals much of the condition of our heart. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says that, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of his mouth comes what is in his heart. In fact, James has already addressed the tongue. If you turn back with me to chapter 1, you'll notice in verse 19, James first mentioned the tongue. Verse 19 of chapter 1, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Down to verse 26, he mentions it again. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. James has already referenced the tongue a couple of times in chapter 1. And now we come to chapter 3, where he unfolds for us this vivid imagery of how it should motivate us and recognize that we need to grow in spiritual maturity in our tongues, our use of our tongues. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 36, Jesus is speaking. And he reminds us that we will be held accountable for every word. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And how serious it is as we come to God's word this morning that we would take heed and be reminded of areas of where we sin with our tongue. That it's an evidence really of what's in our heart. It is coming out through our tongue. It should motivate us then to keep close to the Lord, to recognize apart from Him, we can do nothing to change the inclination we have to use our tongue in a wrong way. Further on in chapter 3, James goes on to emphasize the vital importance of controlling our thoughts. And that will come out of what he says here in these first 12 verses regarding the tongue. Notice verse 1 of chapter 3. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. James begins with this warning to those who are in a place of teaching, those who are in a place of leadership. And as the reader would receive this letter, being reminded of the fact that they are going to be held accountable to a higher standard of the use of their tongue. It reminds us also that not only is there a great responsibility for those who teach God's word, but that each of us holds a great responsibility with the use of our tongue. with how we interact in our home with one another, with how we interact with our unsaved neighbors and relatives, our coworkers, those that we come in contact with, other believers, that each of us must ask the Lord to help us to use our tongues in a way that glorifies the Lord. And so James brings this warning right away at the beginning of chapter 3. But as he continues in verses 12 through 2 through 12, he really shows us that it's not just for teachers, that it is applicable to all. Because notice verse 2, he says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." He says literally in verse 2 that we all stumble in many ways. That's how we could translate verse 2. "For in many ways we stumble in many different ways." That if we're honest with ourselves, each of us struggles with the proper use of our tongue. This morning as we look at our text together, we'll notice four warnings and reminders about our tongues. Four warnings and reminders about our tongue. Notice the first one together in verses 2 through 4. The great power of the tongue. The great power of the tongue. Notice verse 2 again. He says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." We see in verses 3 and 4 two illustrations that remind us of the great power of the tongue. What does James do for us? He illustrates two different things to show us that something very small has great power over something rather large. And he uses these illustrations to unfold his section here on how important it is to recognize that the tongue has great power. He begins in verse 2, "For in many things we offend all." That only Jesus Christ himself was perfect in how he used his tongue. Outside of him, each of us has been guilty at one point or another in how we use our tongues. And the Spirit of God convicts us and he reminds us that the tongue, the smallest member of our body, uses the greatest power and it impacts and controls the whole body. A person who has control over his tongue reveals his spiritual maturity. Again, the book of James is highlighting one of those major themes, the spiritual maturity in the life of a believer. And the person, James says, who controls his tongue is evidencing spiritual maturity in his life. And so the question comes this morning, am I bringing honor and glory to the Lord through the use of my tongue? As we think about this past week, as we think of yesterday, or perhaps even this morning, am I bringing honor and glory to the Lord through my tongue? We recognize that each of us falls in this area, but is my desire to make sure that I'm seeking to please the Lord with my tongue? Do I desire in my heart to please him with the words of my mouth? Am I saying things that are necessary? Am I saying things that are honoring to the Lord with my speech? Both of these illustrations in verses 3 and 4 remind us that a small thing overcomes a great force. Notice again verse 3, "We put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us." Some of you have horses, and you know the power of what James is illustrating here in verse 3, that as you put a bit in a horse's mouth, that small, insignificant bit will direct the whole horse. What is James saying? That the small tongue impacts our whole life. It reveals what's in our heart, and it guides us and leads us, because what is in our heart comes out through our tongue. Notice the second illustration, verse 4. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, that they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Maybe you've read about some ships. I've enjoyed reading about the Titanic from time to time, and that catastrophe that happened began when they recognized they were off course, and they quickly tried to change, but there wasn't enough time before they hit the iceberg. But a small helm at the hand of the one operating the boat would tell the course of a ship and where it is going. James says, so is the tongue. He says, it's a small member, but it goes against contrary forces. It actually it shows the whole body. Both the bit and the rudder here show that our tongues impact the lives of others. These small insignificant things that James is illustrating here in verses 3 and 4 change the whole direction. And so it is with our tongue. The small member changes and impacts the lives of those around us. In the day that we live in, we have far more than just our tongue to be mindful of. Our tongue comes out in many different ways. We see it through the things that are written, through text messages that are sent between people. We're revealing through our mouth, through our text message. We're communicating through the internet and chats that continue on between people. That all of those are a revelation of what's coming out of our tongue is in our heart. Young people, we need to be mindful of that as we use these things and others alike, that we're mindful of what we say through a text message, through a cell phone call, through the internet, reveals the condition of our heart. The small, insignificant tongue is very powerful. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. David said in Psalm 141, verses 3 and 4, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. Are we guarding our tongues? Do we recognize the power of our tongue? And James gives us these two vivid illustrations to remind us, to remind his readers that we're struggling in this area, that they needed to be mindful of the great power of the tongue. That it seems insignificant, but it impacts those around us. It reveals the spiritual condition, the spiritual maturity or lack thereof in the life of a believer. Notice the second warning and reminder this morning, verses 5 and 6, the great destruction of the tongue. Notice verses 5 and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. James says not only is the tongue very powerful, but secondly, he reminds us of the great destruction that can happen through the tongue. The tongue cannot be tamed in and of our own selves. We cannot control our tongue. We need the Spirit of God and the Word of God to help us to tame our tongues. Notice how James says that again, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. It is behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It carries the idea that something small that is said can balloon into a great fire. In 1871, October 8th, there was a fire in Chicago at the O'Leary barn. And if you've read of the account, they were in the barn with their cows, and one of the cows' foot hit a lantern that tipped over and started the fire. It's known as the Great Chicago Fire. Over 100,000 people were left homeless. 17,500 buildings were destroyed. 300 people died. And it cost the city over $400 million in 1871. Significant to think about. Starting from one little thing that happened in a barn. And so it is with the tongue. James warns the end of verse 5, that a tongue can manifest a great fire. That it can start in a small way and develop into something great. Now this is as old as we find the Word of God. If we went back to Genesis chapter 3, we would find that Satan used the tongue, a lie, to start the process of sin in the Garden of Eden. And it impacted for generations to come that all mankind would be lost in his sin. He says again, verse 5, it setteth on fire. The end of verse 6, it is set on fire, setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. The idea being here that it's habitual, it's continual, that once it starts, that little spark will not stop. It continues. The fire gets greater with more intensity, and it develops into something bigger. You cannot control the damage that is done or reverse the circumstances that come after the destruction of the tongue. What a reminder to each of us at times when we've given into the flesh and we've used our tongue to lash out at someone, or we've used our tongue to hurt someone or to cut someone down, that it spreads and it actually damages that other person. Notice again verse 6. He says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. There's the connection back to those two illustrations in verses 3 and 4. This small tongue defiles the whole body. The end of verse 6. And it sets on fire the course of nature, or literally of our life. It shows the direction of our life. One author said this, there are few sins people commit in which the tongue is not involved. That's a sobering reminder to us, isn't it? That the tongue is often one of the key roots at an area of sin in our life. How does the tongue impact others? Well, there are at least two significant things that we find in Scripture and we find in the present day that we are living in that is very destructive in the use of the tongue. And the first is gossip. That gossip is one of the most destructive uses of our tongue. What happens? Far too often, it damages the character of someone else, or it hurts someone else, and it's simply not true, or it begins to spread through the use of one person's tongue to another. I came across one author's point of view from a pastor's pen that I thought was helpful, and you'll connect with this as he reminds us of this point. He says, gossip often veils itself in acceptable conventions, such as, have you heard, or did you know? They tell me, keep this to yourself, but I don't believe it's true, but I hear that, or I wouldn't tell you except that I know it will go no further. And then he goes on. He says, of course, the infamous such rationalization in Christian circles is, I'm telling you this so you can pray. And that is so true. As I read those, how often we find ourselves saying those things, and that small word that's spoken to someone else is simply gossip that hurts someone else, or it maligns the character of another person. Gossip is one of the most destructive uses that Satan can do to destroy the work of God. Second area that is of great struggle and destruction is a critical spirit. A critical spirit. Satan delights in nothing more than seeking to get one person to be critical and infect the entire group. If he can get one person to be negative or critical of something or someone else, it can impact those around him. holding a grudge against someone else or not guarding our tongues will easily entrap us and add to the problem instead of clarifying a situation. The book of Proverbs has a number of verses that are helpful to remind us of the use of the tongue. If you would turn with me first to Proverbs chapter 15, we're going to look at a few of these very quickly. Proverbs chapter 15, the great destruction of the tongue. We find many verses in Scripture, and a couple of these are very important as we think of how we can overcome the destruction of gossip and critical spirit. He says, chapter 15, verse 1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." If we turn back to chapter 10, a few pages back, chapter 10, verse 19, he reminds us, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." One page over to chapter 12. Chapter 12. Verse 22, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord." He reminds us of how serious the Lord looks at the use of our tongue. And that's a sobering reminder and a warning to each and every one of us. The tongue can be used for great destruction. But the tongue can also be used for great edification, to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ, to help someone else when they're in the midst of a struggle. On April 21st, 1855, Edward Kimball went into a Boston shoe store and led D.L. Moody to the Lord. Through the use of his tongue, he led D.L. Moody to the Lord, who went on to impact others for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is the tongue so hard to control? Because often we try to do it in our own strength. We try to tame it in our own ability, or we try to think that we have control over something, when in reality we need the Lord's help moment by moment of every day. How does James illustrate this? If we go back to James chapter 3, he reminds us of a third warning and reminder in verses 7 and 8, and it is this: no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame the tongue. Notice verse 7. He says, "For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." James says, not only is the power of the tongue great, secondly, the tongue can cause great destruction. But then number three, here in verses 7 and 8, he reminds us that no man can tame his tongue. And he gives us again another vivid illustration in verse 7 by saying all of these things of creation can be tamed. And then verse 8, "But the tongue can no man tame." Maybe you heard this past week in the news. There was a 21-year-old girl who had been at a safari of sorts, and there was a lion that came through her window and dragged her out, and she died. She passed away. And there were warning signs to keep your windows up and to keep your doors locked. But she lost her life by not heeding to those. When you go to a zoo, sometimes you can get right up close to an animal, and it's amazing to see how close you can get but still be safe. You're right there at the window looking in at a chimpanzee or a lion that's come up to the front window. But if that barrier wasn't there, you would be very vulnerable. And as powerful as those animals are and as deadly as they can be, James says in verse 7 that they still can be tamed. But verse 8, "But the tongue can no man tame." That we cannot control our tongue. It is human nature to allow our tongue to run in its own direction. The tongue is like an untamed beast. It has no control. James is pointing out that almost everything but the tongue can be tamed. Notice how he describes it, verse 8. He says it's an unruly evil. Or literally, it could be interpreted a restless or incapable of restraint. It's unruly. You cannot constrain it. You cannot restrain it or hold it in. You cannot contain it in your own strength. Notice he says, verse 8 at the end, it's full of deadly poison. Literally, it's a poison that bears death. And so is the tongue. Left to its own self, it cannot be tamed. It cannot be controlled in and of his own power. James is reminding us of these sober warnings that we cannot do this in our own strength. Notice the fourth reminder and warning this morning in verses 9 through 12. The tongue reveals our spiritual life. The tongue reveals our spiritual life. Notice verse 9. James says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. What is James reminding them of? Well, as we've seen, James is apparently dealing with believers who had been saying the right things in worship. He says that in verse 9 and 10. At the same time, when they leave, their words are not revealing a consistency in their life. They're saying all the right things when they come to worship, but then their tongue is a mess when they leave their place of worship. He says, out of their mouth, verse 10, proceeds blessing and cursing. Notice the warning. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. He reminds us that it just reveals our spiritual life. Our tongues reveal the condition of our spiritual life. Again, the spiritual maturity or immaturity of a life of every person. Warnings and reminders of our tongues. You say, how can we then have victory over our tongue? Well, we've had a number of verses throughout the message that we could memorize and use to help us with our tongues. It would be good for us to memorize those and to put those into practice when we begin to struggle throughout the day with wanting to use our words against someone else, and to be reminded that we cannot tame the tongue in and of ourselves. But practically speaking, how do we have victory over our tongue? Number one, we first must recognize that the Holy Spirit is the only source to keep our tongues. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. That the Holy Spirit is the only source to keep our tongues. As we come to Isaiah chapter 6, we have a wonderful picture of the presence of the throne of God. And as we come, we find Isaiah here acknowledging the wickedness of the tongue in verse 5. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. He says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for in mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he layeth it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Notice Isaiah says in verse 5, my lips are unclean. I'm in the midst of people of unclean lips. And then we read in verse 6 that verses 6 and 7 that the Lord touches his lips and the iniquity is gone. And then in verse 8, he's ready to serve the Lord. He says, I heard the voice and I responded, here am I, send me. What did Isaiah do? He acknowledged his need for the Lord. He acknowledged the sinfulness of his own life. He acknowledged the sinfulness of the present situation that he was in. And the Lord touched his lips. And now he had lips that were ready to serve the Lord. And so it reminds us, how do we have victory over the tongue? We must recognize that the Holy Spirit is the only source to help us keep our tongues. Secondly, very quickly, number two, we must implement spiritual discipline over our tongues. We must implement spiritual discipline over our tongues. How do we do that? Through prayer, through a dependence on the Spirit of God, through imploring the Lord to help us to have victory over our tongues. You say, Lord, I'm struggling again. My tongue is going astray. Fill me with your Spirit and help me to have the spiritual discipline over my tongue. We can use our tongues to tell others of our Savior, to encourage others in their spiritual walk, to lift someone up when they've been going through a difficult time. And our tongues are used to worship the Lord. How are our tongues being used? Are we pleasing the Lord with our tongues? I'll close this morning with a reminder of one hymn writer who I think captured it very well. He says, may the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. Shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would help us to have a tongue that is pleasing to you. Oh Lord, how we confess that far too often our tongues have hurt someone else. They've been used in gossip or a critical spirit or to tear someone down. Oh Lord, we acknowledge this morning that we are a people of unclean lips, that we need the touch of God upon our lips, the presence of his Spirit to help us to have victory in our lives. Oh Lord, we recognize also that it comes through spiritual discipline, that we must be in the Word of God, dependent upon you in prayer, led of the Spirit, if we're going to have victory in our tongues. Oh, so Lord, we pray that you would help us this morning to be mindful of that little member that does so much destruction. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.